This is the second of our two exclusive KGEZ Good Morning Show drill downs, made possible by Dent Magic, to Washington, D.C., and Linda Kenyon.
Good morning, Linda.
Well, good morning, good morning. It's Friday. Most of you are packing up your suitcases and getting ready to go off on a nice weekend, and Congress is not.
Uh-huh. Really?
So those guys are finally going to work for a change, huh?
I feel so badly for them after, they've been working their fingers to the bone month in and month out, never leaving town.
Yeah, something like that. So the House is actually going to be voting this weekend on a package of foreign aid and national security bills. And that means that, maybe they can get it all done on Saturday. Maybe they can't. I mean, they would like to go home for at least a little while. And even if they pass all four of these bills that make up the package, it still has to go to the Senate. And the Senate is out of town next week. So foreign aid, including aid in the form of weaponry for Ukraine, is going to be put on hold a little bit further.
So I guess the big question is Speaker Johnson going to have to fall on his sword?
Speaker Johnson is in a very precarious situation right now. We realize, and he realizes, that the mathematics just simply don't add up for him to get any kind of a party line sweep to pass these foreign aid bills. At the same time, he's been told in no uncertain terms that his job is at risk because of some Republicans led by Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia who want to pull the trigger on the motion to vacate, in other words, oust him from his speakership if he does, in fact, put a Ukraine aid bill on the floor, and at the same time, if he relies upon Democrats to pass that foreign aid bill. And because, as I say, the mathematics simply don't add up, really, Johnson has no choice but to rely on some Democratic votes because his majority in the House is so slim that he can only lose two votes and still pass legislation. So, and that is because of retirements, et cetera. And so he is now mindful that the only way he can get things done is to reach across the aisle. And by the way, something as has been described as rare as an eclipse happened last night in the House Rules Committee, where Rules Committee will decide the rules of debate and what bills to put on the floor. And last night they agreed to put the foreign aid bills, including the Ukraine aid bill, on the floor. However, some Democrats crossed party lines and defied the conservatives on the Rules Committee and agreeing to put those bills on the floor when the conservatives did not want to.
You know, I'm coming back to this again. Speaker Johnson just in a terrible situation here. What I don't understand is why he's permitting this sort of thing to go on. Marjorie Taylor Greene, in addition to threatening him pretty much by herself, she's also attaching a bunch of riders onto this bill.
Oh, yeah.
One of them is... what was one of them that?
Yeah, if you vote for Ukraine aid, you have to be conscripted into the Ukraine army.
Yeah.
What is that? Is that even legal? An American citizen being,
of course not.
No, it's not gonna fly. And but she's making a point, and that's one of the major concerns, or I should say, criticisms, by the way, that Democrats have for Republicans. They're more into, they say, making a point than making law.
Yeah.
Now, back in the old days when you wanted to stop something from happening, you just get up there and do a filibuster. But, of course, that's not allowed in the House. So I guess all you can do is do what Marjorie Taylor Greene is doing to try to stop something you don't want.
You know, throw some sand in the gas tank, or some nails to stop the car in its tracks, or whatever. Delay through various procedural efforts and other assorted, sometimes very inside baseball tactics. And we see that happen in the Senate as well, of course, but it seems to have reached new heights in the House. And Speaker Johnson is kind of stuck in the middle, wondering probably each and every day that he gets up as to why he is doing this job in the first place.
Okay, now, Linda, Marjorie Taylor Greene, does she have really that much support? And I, what is the name of the group, the right-wing group?
The Freedom Caucus.
The Freedom Caucus. How many in the Freedom Caucus? I mean, this is a handful of representatives among how many?
365, I believe.
And, you know, might the rules change as far as the way they were before McCarthy got ousted?
You know, the House Freedom Caucus is a very small but very vocal group. And it's not as big as it once was. However, it's still big enough to affect legislation. And that is because the House operates under different rules than the Senate does. And in the House, any one individual member can gum up the works in a way that it cannot be quite as easily accomplished in the Senate. So in the House, when you have a small group like the House Freedom Caucus, which are the most conservative of the conservatives, it's become a situation now where a lot of members, even of the Republican Party, have complained that it's a case of the tail wagging the dog and not the other way around. So that is why moderate Republicans, less conservative Republicans, but still Republicans, are kind of turning away from a lot of what the House Freedom Caucus has been doing, and away from Marjorie Taylor Greene in particular, and saying, look, we're here to serve our constituents. In fact, everybody is there to serve their constituents, and they're just going to have to, you know, buckle under and pass legislation without, you know, worrying about what the House Freedom Caucus does. But the House Freedom Caucus is meant to assert its position as representing the Republican Party base. Now, if the base is getting smaller, then maybe it won't be the base any longer. But nonetheless, right now, Speaker Johnson, who was a member of the House Freedom Caucus, by the way, is very mindful that they still wield incredible power.
Well, one of the things that that can happen, again, a minority thing, is a third-party presidential candidate. Every time we've had one get in, something bad has happened to the outcome of the elections. We have a problem with that this year, too.
We do. We have Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's running as an independent. And the concern among Democrats in particular is that he will siphon off votes from Joe Biden, and that could affect the outcome of the election and put Donald Trump back in the White House. Now, I need to correct a mistake I made yesterday when we were speaking, and I said a little bit about the background of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He was not a member of Congress in the past. He is an environmental lawyer, very well known as an anti-vaxxer, and has taken various political positions that Democrats say they don't track with. And he seems to be more Republican or maybe more libertarian. But nonetheless, he does pose a threat, a third-party threat in this election. And so yesterday, 15 members of the Kennedy family, the iconic Democratic family, were in Philadelphia, and President Biden was there to gracefully and graciously accept their endorsement for president. Think of how significant this is. They endorsed Joe Biden. They did not endorse a member of their own family, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He later responded on social media saying, "We are divided in our opinions, but united in our love for each other." So he's like, no hard feelings here, but it is quite significant that the Kennedys would not endorse a Kennedy. And one of the main reasons, according to Kerry Kennedy, who made the announcement yesterday, who is the sister of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., one of the reasons, she said, is that it is very clear that only two people can get the 270 Electoral College votes necessary to win the nomination and the presidency. And she said that it's very clear that those two people are Donald Trump or Joe Biden. And she, while not mentioning Robert F. Kennedy Jr. by name, she did basically say, you know, only these two are viable, and that she said this is an inflection point in American history and the U.S. cannot afford to sit this one out. Everybody has to go out and vote. And she also said that Joe Biden best represents the values of the Kennedy family and of the American people.
Now, I understand the Kennedy name is one that could be picked up by Democrats who don't particularly want to vote for Joe Biden again. But with his policies, particularly his anti-vax policies and some of his others, libertarian policies, why wouldn't he siphon votes away from Donald Trump?
Yeah, well, you know, he was asked about that. And a few weeks ago, he said he felt that he was siphoning more votes off of Donald Trump than Joe Biden. But, you know, anything can happen. And the Democrats are very worried about this. And they feel that he's going to siphon off more votes from Joe Biden, not from Donald Trump.
Linda, as always, we appreciate your great reporting. And thank you for drilling down for us this morning.
Well, thank you. We will talk next week. And I'll let you know how the weekend went.